Good to be back with you this evening. I invite you to begin turning in your Bibles to the Gospel according to John, and then chapter 1. We'll be turning there and reading passages concentrated primarily in the Gospel according to John and in the first chapter, making references to a few other passages from God's Word, as we begin to study and focus on the aspect of the society that we live in today. Seems to be a society that tells us it should be all about me. Whatever I want, I can do. Whatever I desire, I can have, and let no one stop me from attaining it. This is something that is made available, most especially in the world, but yes, in this country even. The land of the free and the home of the brave, that we are able to find that which we want, and all man is able to get it. But is that really what the focus that we should have as Christians today? I mean, it seems to be everywhere around us, and it's very difficult to escape, whether we talk about the news channels that we watch on TV, or the sports channels and events, or the reality television shows that seem to be on nearly every channel all hours of the day. Is it really supposed to be all about me? No. It's to be about Him who created me. It's to be about God. He is, after all, our Creator. He has now created all things that we see, both yesterday, today, and will see in the days to come. All of the things that are around us, all of the things that have been made possible, have been made possible through the grace of God. It is His world. This is my Father's world, as we sometimes sing. So shouldn't it be about Him? Passage like Titus in 2nd chapter in verse 11 says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own people, zealous for good works." It's all about Him. It's all about the way in which we live in pleasing Him, not about satisfying ourselves and our wants. So how is it that we are to deal with this me society that we're living in? I'd simply like to call this lesson that which is needed to study the art of self-deflection. What is self-deflection? Well, if we break that down, to deflect would mean to bounce off of or redirect. And when we talk about self-deflection, that is deflecting those things that come at us, away from us. As we expand upon that, I want us to understand that self-deflection is a positive thing. That we're not to draw attention to ourselves, for it is not us who lives, it's Christ that lives within us. And to prove that point tonight, we're going to use an example that we find within the Gospels. The example of a man by the name of John the Baptizer, or John the Baptist. We're going to talk about him in just a few moments, looking at what it is of description of the man that he was and the duty that he had, and seeing him as a good and great example of humility, of selflessness, of servanthood, and of self-deflection. In Matthew chapter 8, we can read a description of this man, John the Baptizer. In Matthew and in chapter 8, it begins the description of him there in verse 3, or chapter 3, verse 1 says, "In those days John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.' For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" Now, John himself was clothed in camel's hair. with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locust and wild honey. Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. Now, this is a description of this man, John, the one who is considered to be the forerunner of the Messiah, the one who is coming, and I see him as one who comes out of the wilderness. It says wearing camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, eating locusts. This seems to be someone I might see on the outside as being a very rough, tough person. A man who may have been one who is not necessarily what we might call a poster child for the perfect person. He was a man who was living in the world. He was a man who was living off of the world. And he might be someone that might look a lot different than who we are or what we see when we look in the mirror. Yet he was the one to come before the Messiah. He was the one who was to prepare the way of the Lord, says the prophet Isaiah. And this was the purpose of this man. Look with me in John chapter 1 and look in verses 6 through 8. Because here we also see this by, according to John's gospel account of this man and his purpose and the way in which he was sent. In John chapter 1, verse 6, it says, "There was a man," again speaking of this man, John the Baptist, "a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe." Verse 8 says, "He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light." The light that is being spoken of here is Christ, the Messiah, the one who is to come to free the world from being captive to their own sin, the one who were to come to live and to die and to bring about salvation for all who are found righteous. But let's talk just a few moments about John, the one who was to pave the way for the coming Messiah. The first thing he does in this attitude or this aspect of self-deflection is that one who portrayed himself to not be the light. It says there in verse number 7 or verse number 8, he says, I am not the light. I am not the one whom you seek. I am not the one who you have read about. I am merely coming before him. But there is one coming after me that is much greater. He deflects all of the witnessing and all the testimony and all those that are coming to say that I am simply here to bear witness of the truth that is to come, to prepare the way of the Lord, as we read in Isaiah 52. He was deflecting all of the attention and direction from himself and pointing it to the one to come. Secondly, he says that I am not the Christ. Look a little bit further in John chapter 1, down in verse 19. John 1 and verse 19 begins by saying, "Now this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who are you?' He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ.' And they asked him, 'What then? Are you Elijah?' He said, 'I am not.' 'Are you the prophet?' He answered, 'No.' Then they said to him, 'Who are you, that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself?' And he says, 'I am,'" and quotes from the prophet Isaiah, "'the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way for the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now those who were sent were from the Pharisees. And they asked him, saying, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose." These things were done in Bethabara beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. In that long discourse and verses there, we learn that John was the first to say, "Yes, it is true, I have come, but I am not the light that you seek." He says, "It is true, I have come, and I am doing these things and teaching these things, but I am not the Christ. I am merely making the way and preparing the way for the Lord to come." And John was confronted about who he was, and about his purpose, and about who it was that he was coming on behalf of. And very quickly, he made no bones about it, stating that he was not Jesus. He was not Elijah. He was not the prophet that they were seeking or preparing for. Now we see John from the very beginning deflecting the attention from himself, deflecting all of these that are coming in order to question him and to lay alms before him, seeking to find out if he is the coming of the Messiah who is to come. But he deflects all of that from himself and points all to the Savior. "For there is another one who is coming who is greater than I." Is that any different for us today? Isn't as Christians that our job today? That those who are coming to find out and seeking to find what is truth, or what is right, or what is proper, or how do I become saved? How do I gain a home in heaven that is promised to me? We're to deflect those things away from ourselves and point them straight to God. Point them straight to the way which is made straight by the Savior, and introduce them to the love that has been made available to them, just as it has been made available to us. Our job today is no different. In all that we do, it needs to be about Jesus, not about ourselves. Bringing all of glory and honor to Him, not to ourselves. Now this might be a problem for some. It may be very easy for many people to come and to point that attention and to give all of that praise and honor to someone who might stand here to put on the nice suit, to use the big fancy words, and to read and to present God's Word. It's very easy to lift up those who are not just preaching the Word, but also leading in the worship of the singing, or offering a public prayer on behalf of the saints who have gathered. But even in our daily walks, it needs to be about Jesus receiving the glory, the honor, and the credit, not us. It's again not about me in the house of the Lord. It's about the Lord. We simply don't see John saying anything about himself. Everything is being focused and directed to Christ. What is it that can help us with this type of attitude? Well, John goes on and gives us the basis for his thoughts. He continues on there in verse 27. And says as there, as we just read in John chapter 1, verse 27, that "I am not the preferred one, for there is one coming who is greater than I." John 1 and verse 27 is written and says, "It is He who, coming after me, is preferred before me. One whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose." It is not about me. It is about one who is far greater than I am. The New Living Translation uses those words in that verse. It says, "A man who is far greater than I." And the idea is there is one who ranks far above me, above myself. Excuse me, above my abilities. Don't focus your attention on me. Turn your eyes to the Christ. John says that his sandal straps, Jesus' sandal straps, "I am not even worthy or able to loosen. I am not even worthy to be called his slave." This is showing humility. This is showing selflessness. It's showing servitude and self-deflection on the part of John. One page over in your Bibles, John again is talking about Jesus and says in John chapter 3, verse 30, that "He must increase, but I must decrease." It is not about my popularity. It's not about the things in which I am doing and all the glory and the honor that may be given or given to me or pointed directly to me. It is He who will increase and I must decrease. Again, it's not about me. It's about the Lord. We should never hesitate to exalt Jesus above ourselves. For the true cost of discipleship was said by Jesus in Luke 9, verse 23, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." It's not about me, it's about whom I serve. And I serve the risen Lord. Now, are we able to take a stand like Paul takes? For instance, when he writes to the Galatian people in chapter 2 and verse 20, saying it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. It is no longer my life that I live. It's a life I live for Him. And I deflect all that's brought to me to lift me up. And I deflect it to where it belongs. Are we willing to humble ourselves to the point that John did? For all of those who were coming to seek the knowledge and the truth, the talk of the town that spread so wide and so far, saying that there is one who is coming who is baptizing with water, this has to be the Messiah that we've heard about. The great excitement and the great joy that must have run from house to house and town to town to go seek out this one whom they thought was the Lord. Only to find that it was He who was there, but He says, "It is not I, but He's coming. Yes, I baptize now by water, and baptize you confessing your sins, making yourselves right before God. But there is one who's coming who is greater, far greater than I, who I am not even worthy to bow down to." Are we willing to deflect all of the attention from ourselves and focus people's attention where it needs to be? At the foot of the cross? These are things that we must remind ourselves of, to understand and to know so that we are willing to point them in the right direction, the direction which leads to heaven, not to glory here on earth. When we talked a little bit about this opportunity that John had, when he spoke of John there and the things that he was doing, of how he proclaimed to all of the people around him that there was one coming after, that very next day, there was something else concerning Jesus that came about. It says there in verse 9 of John 1, it talks about, or 29, I'm sorry, John chapter 1, verse 29. It says, "The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is He of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore, I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and He remained upon Him. I did not know Him, but He who sent me to baptize with water said to me, Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on Him, this is He who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God.'" It was John's mission and his purpose to pave the way for the coming of the Messiah. The one who was to come to bring balance to the world, the one who was to come to free the world from their sins. And this man we know came by the name of Jesus. It was He who sent John to do this work. It was God the Father that said, "The one who comes to be baptized, you will see the Spirit descend upon him." and the Spirit that descends upon this man and remains on him, that is my Son. Hear him. For he is the one that comes to baptize with the Holy Spirit. He is the one that comes to bring salvation to all mankind. He is the one of whom you are to bear witness of. And that's exactly what John did. But John reminds us here that we should never forget the basis of our salvation. That is not necessarily about the things that we do or do not do, or the matter in which we do them. It is the purpose for why we do the things we do as Christians. And that is so that we can have the home in heaven. And so that we can share that message to all who are around us. We haven't been saved based on any great thing that we have done or ever could do. It is the blood of the Lamb that has taken away our sins. And it was a gift. Something that we cannot earn. It's not something that we are ever due. It's not something that we are required to have in this life. Unless we call ourselves children of God. And without that salvation, there's no hope of heaven. It is our purpose to allow that to flow from us. To deflect those things of this world when attention is brought to us as Christians. And take all to the foot of the cross. That we're to be humble in our steps that we make. That we are to be servants of His and to do His work. And that we're to be great servants of the King. And serve in the Lord's army. We should be ready and prepared to always point the world to Jesus. Because of the simple fact that without Him and the sacrifice that He made and the shedding of His blood, there would be no home in heaven awaiting for any of us. He is their only hope of salvation. And He is our only hope as well. John writes in 1 Timothy 2, verses 5 and 6, "For there is one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." It is our due time to testify for the Lord. It is our time to stand firm and strong on our foundation of faith. To know that we have a hope that has been promised for us and believe that it is a promise. That if we do our part and found acceptable and righteous in His eyes, we will be granted entrance into the gates of heaven. It's something that's been available to all. And we should take that message into the world. Times like this, I seem to think that John had a difficult road to live. That he was going from town to town and he was preaching the gospel and sharing the great message. And many came to follow him, John the man. Yet every time I see him mentioned in Scripture, he is deflecting the attention. He's deflecting the praise, the compliment. He's deflecting all that say, "I am of Paul," or "I am of Cephas," or "I am of John." He says, "There is one coming who is greater than I. He is the light. He is the Christ. He is the preferred one. I am merely but a humble servant." Is that the role that you're ready to take on? Is that the responsibility that you remember putting on when you put Him on in baptism? Washing away the things of the world and putting on Christ? Are you ready to suit up and put on the whole armor of God and fight in the Lord's army? Because He's calling you to do that. Because as Christians, it's not about us personally. It's about whom we serve. And we serve a risen Lord. Are you in need of the blood of the Lamb this very night? For He is here,
and He is with us, and He is ready to cleanse away any spot or stain that may be upon you at this very time. Maybe you've not put Him on in baptism and washed clean of your sins. Or maybe you have, but things have been tough. There have been times of persecution and times of battle where you've fallen short. We all fall short and sin from time to time. The Scriptures tell us. And times like this are when we are to bow upon our knees and humble ourselves before the Lord. To go to Him with our problems and concerns. To take to Him the obstacles that are in front of us. For it's not about us and our service to Him. It's about Him who we serve. Do you need to patch the relationship between you and your Lord? I encourage you to do that tonight. Let us all be strengthened by the example that we see in John. One who was sent out to serve. And one who pointed everyone to the risen Lord. Can we help you tonight? If there's a need that you have and there's something that we can do, I invite you to let us know that now as we stand and as we sing this song of invitation.